If you have a Bible, open up to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to dive into the Word this morning. For those of you who are not familiar with who I am, my name is Jeff Chavez. I'm one of the lead pastors here, and I'm honored and blessed to be bringing the Word this morning. I just want to take a quick moment and just give a testimony to Jan back here. So when was that I gave you that Word? So about a year ago, I had a word of knowledge about individuals that had just recently lost their ring. The other one I remember praying for that morning was Veronica. Did you ever find yours yet? No, not yet. But Jan this morning, so we're going to come back to you, Veronica. Jan came this morning and said it has been returned and she just found it. And so, I mean, it took a year, but I stand on those things that, Lord, I don't know why the time frame is what it is sometimes, but Lord, when we share your heart and we minister in what we believe to be true, then we expect it, Lord, we expect it. And yes, sometimes it seems like it just takes a little longer. Veronica's over there. She has not had her ring returned yet, but Lord, we come in the testimony and we say, Lord, that day you revealed that you're restoring and returning rings, and we thank you for the ring that was found and returned, but those that are still missing, we call them forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Raise your hand if you were with us last Sunday and the Lord healed you, touched you, or just ministered to you while we were giving testimonies and praying. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, so 5 of you that are here this morning. Can we just give the Lord a round of applause? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Again, the amount of testimonies and just the vastness of God's glory last week was so encouraging and just a great reminder of what he is up to, right? And sometimes we can get into a place where the problem becomes so big. And so I want you to check out this first slide, and I want you to see 3 words this morning. The first is, say this with me, the problem. The next is the provision. And the last is the promise. So what happens if the problem becomes bigger than provision and promise? You're out of whack. Things aren't aligning right. Things seem impossible, right? They seem out of order. Discouragement, despair, loneliness, depression, suicide, addiction. All these things can begin to fill our thoughts in such a manner that when the problem becomes so big and we lose sight of provision and promise, we can feel lost. How many of you have ever been there? The rest of you will confess right now because I know you've been there. We've all been there. We've all been there in different seasons, different expressions, different reasons. Some are our responsibility. Some are we've experienced the consequence of other people's problems. I don't know if you have people like that in your life, but, you know, they just love to bring their problems, drop it on your doorstep, and somehow ask that you be the provision and remind them of the promise. And yes, there's a healthy balance to that. But if you don't even know how to navigate that reality, you can become overwhelmed. And so what we're going to do this morning is, again, we're in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at a few verses and just expose a pattern that you and I need to become very disciplined at and need to use in a way to steward our faith. And it's recognizing that there is a problem. And it's vast, it's diverse, it's unique to you, it's corporate, it's singular, it's personal, it's worldly. There's problems all over. And if all we do is look at the problem and don't start moving towards, Lord, what's your provision? Again, we'll get caught up in the lostness and the loneliness and the isolation and the despair and all those other things that darkness loves to do in the midst of a problem. But see, we can't even stop at just provision. You and I need to get to a place where we're reminded of and we're declaring and we're looking at and we're grasping for and we're pulling into this realm the promise. Because each and every one of you in this room, whether you believe this or not, whether you understand this yet, or whether you're just in process and you're trying to get there, you are a fulfillment of God's promise. So recently, this week, if you follow the calendar, this Sunday, today, would technically be 50 days since Easter, so we call this Pentecost Sunday. But if you follow the actual Hebraic calendar, Pentecost would have happened on Thursday, And so we're in this season where we recognize that the Pentecost that you and I have, the experience of God fulfilling his promise by indwelling his people on the day of Pentecost, real quick, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, the disciples are up in this upper room and they're just contending, they're just praying, they're dealing with the problem. Jesus has been with us for 40 days. Now he's left us for these 10 days. He told us to wait. We don't know what to do. He made all these promises, but right now we're sitting in a problem, and God in his faithfulness doesn't look at your problem and go, figure it out. He says, I have a promise and here's my provision. And in that moment, what happens is they get inundated, they get baptized, they get immersed in the Spirit and the outpouring of the Spirit. It sounded like thunder and it cracked like lightning and the wind seemed to roll through the room, and it moved them from a place of sitting in a problem to now apprehending a promise. There was movement, and if you know the story, you can go read it in Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, begin to see the outpouring of the Spirit's effect on the church as they move out of that portico, out of that upper room, but they're starting to preach the gospel, because the problem is simple. Sin is real. Separation from God exists, and it grieved the Father. And so before the foundation of the world, if you've been with us in Ephesians, this is where we've been. Before the foundation of the world, he predetermined, he chose, he adopted, he already put in place a plan, a provision for us to step back into the place of promise. And what we see throughout the Word of God is the myriad of experiences that expose problem and provision and the reminder of promise. And so as you're reading your word, as you're in Ephesians with us, look at these three words and realize, oh, this is the problem. And then the next verse is going to show you, oh, this is the provision. Look at Ephesians 2 with me. This is the next verse. So some of you have been with us, so you know this. Here's the problem. And Paul states it this way. And you were what? Dead. We've dealt with this. You were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you were formerly walked according to the course of this world. That is a problem. That is a problem that many of you have overcome by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I'm going to guess that each and every one of us in this room knows somebody that's still stuck in that problem. And they need provision. Another word for provision is a bridge. They need a point of connection. They need a relationship that's going to move them from problem to provision to promise. And the Word of God is filled with understanding how to do that. And so you were dead in your trespasses and sin. You formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So we know who's at work in the problem, right? So there is a real enemy at work creating problems. The other enemy is the self-talk that we then begin to bring agreement with. We start to take the provision of the enemy that says, oh, I should believe there's no hope. Oh, I should believe there's no way out. Oh, I should believe that this is impossible. Oh, I should believe this is my plot in life. Oh, I should believe that God's trying to teach me a lesson by inflicting me with sickness or some other crazy deceptive thing that the enemy tries to feed us. Oh, I should eat this. And the truth is that's not the provision we're after. We're after the provision of the Lord, because in the next slide, we see that the provision is stated like this, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, there is this provision of love that breaks the yoke of all the enemy's deceptive ways. And if there's no love in the self-talk that you're listening to, chances are it's not coming from the Lord. If you're struggling with a friend or a partner, and again, it's filled with accusations and just demoralizing negativity, it's got to stop in such a manner that you realize this is not the way the Lord wants us. And we all fall victim to it. We do it, and that's the beauty of repentance. And so the provision, watch, even when we were dead in our transgressions, so he states the problem again, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. The provision is grace. Not your works, not your efforts, not your ability to figure out the problem. Some of you have spent so many years investing in understanding the problem when God wants you to understand the provision is grace, and so get over it. And not in a cruel, like, you know, suck it up and get over it. But realize you can choose to live in the past, you can live in the present, or you can live with a perspective of the future where promise and provision meet. And so again, if you're here this morning and the problems seem overwhelming, please hear our heart. Please hear my heart. Our goal is that you walk out of here with an understanding of how much you're loved and the necessity of faith. And it's not something that you should ever surrender to in the statement of, hey, just get some more faith. As if it's like a can of soda that you open and drink. There's a relationship in the nurturing of faith. There's a relationship in growing our faith. There's this provision that God has made for you and I to understand, how do we get this faith? And the beauty of this is that you and I, he has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. Listen, the problems right here, you can sit in, you can camp out in, but you would be denying the provision that God has made for every born again believer and anyone who wants to be born again. And that is to be lifted up and be seated with him. Meaning the problem is now something we look down on. And so real simply, do this if you recognize a problem. In fact, let's just do this. Heavenly Father, I ask that you just show us one problem. I know some of you could list, you know, a whole page of problems, but just pick one. We thank you right now, Lord, just for the one problem, the one thing that may have challenged us this morning, something you were showing us, Holy Spirit, during the service as we worshiped. Some of you walked in with financial problems, relationship problems. Some of you are just navigating, where do I belong? What do I do? Just pick a problem. And just listen to its tone. And right now, Holy Spirit, we ask that from our heavenly seat, our perspective regarding this problem would align with the Word of God, where we are raised up by grace, and that we can see the problem from a perspective of promise and provision. So just take a moment. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how the Lord wants to show you that, but just allow him to lift you back up in your perspective to a place of truth where his word says you have been raised with Christ. You have been lifted up. You have an ascended lifestyle in such a manner that you are now seated with him. And some of you just, you know, around here, we love prophetic acts, we love demonstrations, and some of you just need to lean over your chair, look down at your feet, and see the problem underneath you. And get a perspective that is actually kingdom-oriented. And now with that perspective, ask the Lord to show you his promises regarding that problem. He can do immeasurably more than you ever asked or hoped for. He has a plan and purpose for you. This next slide here has some promise in it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Lord, I've been saved from this problem. I've been delivered from it. It is your gift, Father, to me, to be able to sit in a manner where, Lord, the problem is not larger than the promise. For we are his workmanship. Lord, I thank you that right now I am your workmanship, and you are teaching me how to navigate this problem. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Lord, the necessary work to address this problem is going to come from you. So teach me, show me, help me steward my life so that, Lord, the good work that's supposed to exist in my life addresses this problem, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in him. Father, I look at this problem as not something that's just new for me, but Lord, I see it as something that you've already known about. You've already made a provision. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of everything else, right? For he who knew no sin became sin so that we may become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Amen. We start to look at the situations. We start to look at the problems in such a manner that Jesus Christ becomes the provision. And then out of that revelation, we can access these promises. And so when we read the word, it's understanding there's a promise there that goes to a problem. How many of you know that no key is any good if it isn't assigned to some lock? And no lock is worth making unless it has a key to open it. And so if you're stuck and you feel locked, know that there is a key. I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know how God's going to deliver. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I guarantee you, if you feel locked or stuck or just bound up, there is a key. God has already made a provision to unlock you, to untie you, whatever vision you want to create. And he is that provision. And in it, it's unto a promise. And it's the promise that we're called to steward in the midst of the process of moving from problem to provision. Because it's in promise that you and I steward hope. It's reminding ourselves of the promise that outweighs and overshadows the problem. And sometimes just navigating the problem with the simplest of provisions like, Father, would you meet me where I'm at? Show me again who I am. Father, I raise my hands with nothing else. I don't know what else to do. The worship this morning had so many opportunities for you to connect with provision in such a manner that once we start accessing provision, guess what happens? Promise. Promise is revealed. The promise is revealed. And so look at a few more verses with me. This is Ephesians 4. And we've been on these verses for a while. I'm just going to break them down for a few minutes and just show you. This is starting in verse 7. And again, Paul is equipping us and he's going to get us into this place that Pastor Mike has taught on and Pastor Josh has taught on. And I just want to come and hit a few things. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts men. One of the promises is that you got gifts. He gave you gifts. And what you might need to do is just stop and go, hey, Lord, what gift is necessary to navigate this problem? And if it's a gift you're not strong in, if it's a gift you don't understand, turn to a neighbor and go, hey, are you familiar with a gift necessary to deal with this problem? And so he's led us to this place where he has ascended. What does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all heavens so that he might fill all things. And so we've talked on this. Josh has brought this lifestyle. Next verse, it says, and he, who's he? Jesus, and he, right? Because he's living in this ascended lifestyle. And he's got this provision that he's made for us. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. We'll come back to that highlighted verse. But let me just finish this section. It says, until, here's the promise, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man or woman, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The promise is that God is making provision, and in the provision, there is a growing up. There is a maturing. There is a becoming. So as you behold, you become. What are you beholding? If all you're beholding is the problem, guess what you're going to become? A problem. And some of you are carrying labels that say you're nothing but a problem. You're a troublemaker. You're a headache. You're a thorn in my butt. You know, whatever it is, or in my shoe, wherever that thorn goes. You've been labeled a problem for so long that now the thought of getting provision is so tainted because it's the tactic of the enemy to bury the truth just enough. We call it to pervert or to twist the truth just enough that we think, okay, Yeah, you know what? I am a problem. Yeah, I know I can be a headache. Yeah, I know I got emotional roller coaster things going on, or I've got this diagnosis or this issue in my life, or I can blame my dad or blame my mom. And we do all this thing where we just sit in the problem. When the truth is, we're actually supposed to be growing up and start beholding the provider, Jesus Christ. Start beholding the promise, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Because on the day of Pentecost, he poured out his Spirit as he had promised on all flesh. And yes, it began in a little upper room with a handful of disciples, but it is moving through the ends of the earth. And you and I need to remember that. We need to remember that in the midst of, yes, our problems, as immediate and as painful and as challenging as they are. But again, in James, what do we learn? We learn that, or excuse me, in Romans, what do we learn? In James, count it all joy, right? But in Romans 5, we learn that the trials produce what? They produce perseverance, and perseverance produces a character, and character produces more problems, right? No. Hope. There's this hope that you and I are supposed to have. And so when we look at this highlighted section, and he gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that we don't have the time this morning to unpack all the problems that this verse has created in the body of Christ. Seriously. And I'll just give you a few. People are chuckling because they know. And if you're sitting there going, what problems? Well, let me just tell you. So some believe that the work of the Holy Spirit was done away with when Jesus, or excuse me, the work of this expression of these gifts was done away with when Jesus gave us the Spirit. Meaning we don't need apostles and prophets. But somehow we sure need pastors. And you know what? We better have a good teacher. The other problem is on the other end of the spectrum, where if you don't call me by my title, if you don't recognize my significance, somehow, you know, as if the entitlement glorifies God. And so there's a whole system of problems that have developed around this one verse. And we could spend a whole lot of time looking at the problem. And some of you have heard this many times, but people who want to identify counterfeit money, they don't study the counterfeit. They study what's real. They study what's true. And so we could come and we could do a great series on, oh, the problems with Ephesians 4:11 and the dysfunctionality that it's created in the church. And that some of you, yes, I know you have a tick, you twitch now, because every time you hear the word apostle or prophet, you've got this, you know, string on you that's just connected to some bad moment or person or place or thing. And forgive me. Let's cut that off right now in the name of, that's where the fire needs to be applied, right? You know, burn off that little whatever string, chain, you know, cord, anchor, you know, whatever it is. Lord, let us be free. And let's look at the provision that God has made. Because he has said that some are called to be apostles. And if this next slide, if things like this you haven't seen before, here's just some simple definitions, which might be triggers, but we're just going to look at provision. So apostles are called to build. The foundation of the gospel was built upon the apostles and the prophets. The apostles and prophets. They're forerunners. They're the ones that are going to take it out. The name disciple, follower, learner got shifted to messenger or apostle. So the disciples who were the followers of Jesus all of a sudden became the messengers, meaning they were the builders of the kingdom in that expression of the Holy Spirit being in them and on them on the day of Pentecost. And they became apostles, the apostle John, the apostle Peter, the apostle Matt, you know, the disciples shifted and began to lay groundwork. That is still a ministry that the Lord acknowledges, and some are called to lead in that area. Prophets, listen, there's a whole mess with this too, but we're not going to focus on the problem. The provision of the prophets was to bring revelation, and we find it more accordingly in 1 Corinthians, where we see that the prophets are actually supposed to be edifiers. They're supposed to be encouragers, exhorters, and sometimes, yes, there's still a place where the encouragement has to identify the problem, and it brings correction, and it brings a rebuke, but in the end, it's also supposed to be coupled with, let's build you up. Let's establish you. Let's get you moving. Let's get you unchained, unshackled, and free in such a manner that the revelation of the Lord isn't just stuck in you, but it's moving through you. And so the redemption of apostles and prophets is something we've been talking about for years. We gave a word last Sunday. Jennifer gave a word about a word of the Lord, just saying that the time and the seasons of religion and denominationalism is breaking, it's ending. That is something we absolutely agree with. But here's the crutch of it, is that it's going to require some of you to understand the role and the leadership that apostles and prophets are supposed to have in the church. It's going to require you to understand that each of these are not accomplishments. You do not do a work that causes you to accomplish a title of apostle, prophet, pastor. Yes, there is a process. Yes, there's a journey. Yes, there's a character testing. Yes, there's a discipline and obedience. But it's not about accomplishment. God didn't say, let's see who can accomplish this. He said, listen, I'm going to give some the call to apostleship. I'm going to give some the call to be a prophet. And what needs to also be dissected at some point, and you can do a study and we'll pray about what this looks like, but there's a difference between the call to be a prophet and then the ministry of prophecy. So the word of knowledge that I had over a year ago regarding the ring kind of begins to fall under that umbrella of being prophetic, prophesying, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. And yes, you are all called to edify in the expression of let's prophesy the word of the Lord. Let's take the word of the Lord and establish it. But then there are others that are called to operate in a gifting and in a grace that is much more prophetic to a body, to a city, to a region. Then there's these incredible evangelists. And these are not just the men and women that stand on the street corner with their signs and their banners, getting persecution probably more from the church than they do from non-believers. Because we look at it and go, that's totally wrong. Don't do that. I don't want to associate with that. Listen, some I agree with, some I don't, but let's all guard our heart from judgment. But let's come to a place where we understand that the gifting and the grace of evangelists is that they raise the volume regarding salvation. They raise the awareness of faith is necessary. Some of you are sitting, please hear my heart this morning. I know it's Memorial Day weekend. God bless all our servicemen and women. And it is not just for barbecues and it's not just for sales. There was a reason why this weekend and Monday was set aside. But there are some of you that you look around in this room and all of a sudden there is this unction of going, where is everybody? How come we haven't seen anybody get saved in a while? How come people aren't clamoring and going after like faith and salvation? And some of you, I mean, I know you approach me and God bless you. Salvation is the only thing in front of you. And God bless you. But there are other realities too, because when somebody needs healing, we need to pray for healing. Do they need to be saved? Probably too. Let's check. But there's other things. There's other realities. And if that's you this morning looking around going, where is everybody? Guard your heart and just know there's a grace on your life to probably evangelize in such a manner where you want to see the faith level in the body, in individuals arise. Some of you, you're going to encounter people who are having problems, and the provision that God wants to use in that moment is actually the sound of an evangelist. Not condemning someone for their sin, but reminding them of the grace in salvation. Wooing them into a place of promise. Years ago, the Lord showed me this picture. We were doing a lot of equipping and a lot of street ministry in Hawaii. And I was down there and, you know, you just do street ministry and people ridicule you. Because they either agree, disagree, don't agree, whatever. The problem. And I'm standing there and we're just taking some hits. And we can focus on the problem, but man, we also had people that were listening and asking great, great questions. And as I'm observing, this woman came up and said, there's a guy down around the corner doing just the same thing you're doing. How many of you are there? And I'm like, well, ma'am, he's not with us. I don't know. you know, that's great. It's Friday night, Waikiki, there's a lot of people out. We're doing our thing. Well, and she was like, isn't it the same thing? Like, just pick a corner and stay on it. Know where you belong. And I'm like, you know, the apostolic nature in me was like, I'm about ready to run over because I'm going to make some movement happen. And then the prophetic nature wants to, you know, tear people down, and that's Old Testament. And so how do I edify? I said, you know what? I wish there was somebody on every corner. And she was like, oh my God, and just walked off with her hands in the air. And I stood there thinking like, Lord, yeah, what is that? Like, you know, I don't know who the guy is down the corner. I don't know what he's saying. Is it line up with what we're saying? Why isn't every corner filled? And the Lord just showed me this beautiful picture of salvation and the message of salvation actually being a marriage ceremony where the unsaved is being married to Jesus Christ. And that, Jeff, there's a whole lot of premarital counseling that's just required sometimes. And so just know, right here, right now, you're just doing a little premarital counseling. And I'm like, you know what, Lord, I can live with that. I can see that picture where, you know what, the process of coming to the wedding day, the process of meeting Jesus and getting connected, the beauty of evangelism, the beauty of evangelists is that you get to be part of this premarriage counseling by sharing faith. And yet let us never fall short of making the commitment to say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Would you like to receive him? Would you want to have relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who carries a promise for you? They might not know who the promise man, the promise keeper is, or Jesus, the promise man, but we do. And so we should be moved by that. And then these last two, we clump these together, and depending on what commentary or what demographic you've come out of or denomination you've come out of, Paul doesn't link them. He makes them very distinct. And all of these can have a mixture. You know, some of us are better teachers and better evangelists and better prophets and pastors. But pastors are the shepherds. They're the ones that are called in such a manner to bring comfort to the body of Christ. The pastors are the ones that actually have, how many of you know this truth? That listen and silent have the same lettering. They're just mixed up. And I tend to prefer the silent part rather than the listening part. I'd prefer just be silent so that I don't have to listen. But I'm learning that if I allow the Holy Spirit to move those letters around, I become a great listener. See, the pastors are called in such a manner to come and bring comfort to a degree that is spirit, soul, and body. And what has happened, unfortunately, again, if we take a moment and address the problem, is that we've lumped all these fivefold ministries into one title called pastor. And we've put an expectation on the pulpit or the leader that is unhealthy and really causing great burnout. 3 out of 4 pastors a month are leaving the pulpit. And most of them, because probably something of them isn't equipped or called to meet the needs that the certain people are asking for. And so they just feel discouraged. The problem becomes overwhelming. The reality of being a pastor has, yes, certain challenges. But if a pastor is trying to then fill the role of apostolic prophetic ministry, it's only going to become more complicated and bring more problems. And that's why around here we're committed to navigating what is our role as leaders, what is necessary. Without the title, I mean, please hear honor, Pastor Mike, Pastor Josh, Pastor Jeff. And yeah, we say pastor because it's become culturally accepted. But if you get to know any of us, there's different uniquenesses in us. That is a grace, and it's a gift that we have to lead and to equip. And teachers, the ability to interpret and then apply understanding to the word is so necessary. Because if you look at it in this last slide, you'll see a little different picture. And I'd encourage you to write this in your Bible in this verse. But if I could get that next slide where apostles are governors. I think I loaded it. Shelley, the next slide. We can simplify it like this. Apostles are called to govern. They're called to look at the land and understand how to legislate, how to move, where things are happening and where things aren't happening, where to appropriate resources and where to store resources. And yes, it has a legal system with it, and yes, it comes with a lot of oversight, but really it's about authority and advancing the body of Christ. And right in partnership, as you steward the land and as you oversee the land, are these individuals who are called to then guide. Guide with insight from the Lord. Guide with the timing of the Lord. Guide with the assurance of the Lord. Guide with faith, so that as we start to gather for movement, as we start to gather to take a territory or take a situation or bring freedom and truth to a reality, there's this gathering that we're not lone rangers doing this. And that as we've gathered, we've also understand the nature of guarding. Hey, listen, let's guard our hearts as we step into this demonic stronghold. Hey, let's guard our minds as we go after seeking freedom for a friend. Hey, let's guard our faith in such a manner that we haven't seen healing yet, but we know it to be true. Let's hold the promise. Let's guard the promise. And some of you, again, would be wise to open your hearts again to pastors that are called to guard. Yes, there's been some abusive, but Mike's amazing. Josh is amazing. I don't think I'm too bad myself, but, you know, there's this place of, you can laugh at that. I'm making a joke. There's this place to guard promise in the midst of making sure that we're hearing promise so that we can be guided, in the making sure of understanding how to govern territorial spirits in the name of Christ. I don't know about you, but I've kind of, my sons were recently visiting. My oldest graduated. I was gone a few weeks ago, and then my son from Hawaii was in town, and they've really gotten into these old Japanese movies and the samurai movies, and so I tried watching them with them, and they're just like, I don't even know where you find these movies, and just, they're old Japanese movies. And there's this one line, and my son was saying, it's like, hey, if you're going to draw your sword, you better use your sword. And I'm like, what? He's like, oh, some samurai, whatever. I was like, wait, say it again? If you're going to draw your sword, then you're going to use your sword. And I went to bed that night like, wait a minute, Lord. I'm out there with my sword, like, whoosh, whoosh, just slashing away, thinking this is how you do it. And yet, do I even need to draw my sword in this moment? And one of the things the Lord hit me with is, Jeff, you don't need to have an opinion about that. Like, why waste your time developing an opinion? Oh, but Lord, I'm drawing my sword because I want to stand for truth. And the Lord's like, there's a difference between standing for truth and then spending so much time developing opinions. I'm like, well, but if, Lord, somebody asks me, I want to know what to say, then just say, you know what? I actually haven't really thought about that. Or say the promise. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't always have to draw my sword. Because sometimes the Lord fights the battle for us. Right? But I'm so quick, and I know some of you are, like, first sign of danger, like, Zorro. And God might be going, hey, I've already taken care of this, and you focus on the problem rather than the promise. Teachers ground, and they bring us back to a grounding. And we do this every Sunday. We try to treat the word and treat this time in such a manner that you get grounded. And that when you leave here, you are assured. You're firm in your place, and you're blessed. And so we will always teach the word. It might look a little different. Last Sunday, we had a lot of testimony, and so it came out a little differently. But something that happens when we gather like this is a grounding. And it's unfortunate because one of the problems is that the value of being grounded in the word has just been eroded by the attack of the enemy. The value for it. One of the things that Grady said to me this morning right before he got to worship, and I noticed he didn't do it, for whatever reason, but I was moved by it. Where'd you go? Oh, Grady, right over there. I just want to see us all on our knees. I just want us to be so, he didn't say this, but my words, because I thought, oh, this will fit. I just want us to be so grounded in the presence of the Lord. I want us to be so reverent of his holiness and his presence that we start in a posture of kneeling. And he led us, and he led us in a different way. And he's got his reasons. But some of us need to start walking in to Sunday morning service, small groups, Bible studies, your workplace, more focused on the promise, Jesus, more focused on the fact that he is the provider than the problem. And I'm not going to tell you that it's easy, but it's absolutely necessary that you begin to work out through stewardship and discipleship and leadership this place, because the promise that is in these verses for us is that we will get to grow up in unity. We will grow up in the knowledge of the Son of God. We will grow up in maturity, and we will be able to receive him in his glory. And so if you would stand with me, I just want to close by sending you out. I'm going to pause real quick because I just saw my note. Deandra, where'd you go? Deandra? Oh, she's coughing, having a coughing fit. So Deandra, this is Deandra. See Deandra? Thank you, Deandra. One of the announcements that wasn't on the slide, but it's in your bulletin, is Deandra is just kind of overseeing some connection. And so on June 10th, Saturday, if you're interested in just kind of an outdoor event, outdoor excursion, there's some hiking, there's some eating, and there's some back road riding, just traveling down into Orofino. Just see her after service. She'll be in the lobby with a flyer and some information if you want to get out and just spend the day and connect. She would appreciate you just letting her know. Some of you signed up to want to have fun and connect, and so she's trying to steward that. The other one for you is the Yak Ministry. Our young adults is doing a barbecue coming up. It didn't make the video this week, but it is in the bulletin, so you can check those out. The other thing is, forgive me, there's a typo. Pastor Mike will be meeting tonight in the Revelation study. We had put in that he wasn't, but with the conference and some other dates, he's going to take the next few Sundays and bring that series to an end for summer, and we'll keep moving on. So thank you for letting me catch up. All right, let me send you out of here this morning. Would you just bow your heart and posture your thoughts in such a manner that you know you are a child of promise? Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. I thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit this morning. Father, I thank you for the movement that you're creating in us and through us, Lord Jesus. And I pray that each and every one of us, and this is where you need to be start to listen, each and every one of us that is struggling with a problem that has outweighed or covered up the provision and the promise, now must come into alignment. It must now be brought into correct perspective in the name of Jesus. It now must bow to the name of Jesus. It must now be silent in the name of Jesus. Some of you need to speak to your problem right now. And I'm not talking about flesh and blood, so don't walk out of here and say to your spouse, be silent. But speak to the problem, miscommunication, you know, hurt, wound. I tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, you will not rule and reign over my life. But that there is a promise of restoration, a promise of reconciliation, a promise of greater unity, a promise of maturing, a promise of perseverance and character and hope. And so we thank you that every problem in this room is now being brought into the true perspective that the Lord King Jesus actually sees it. And he sees his provision greater, and he sees his promise triumphant over it. And so we thank you for that victory this morning. We thank you for that breakthrough this morning. We thank you for the ministry, Holy Spirit, that we've already experienced through worship and fellowship and the ministry of the word. And we pray that today, as we go out, Lord, that we would begin to bless our apostles and bless our prophets, that we'd speak blessing over evangelists, blessing over pastors, that we'd seek the counsel and the wisdom of teachers, because we know that they're called, Lord, that you have called them, that you have assigned them, and that, Father, that there would be no place of bitterness or brokenness that would keep us from receiving the fullness of what you've made available. And Father, for those of us who have taken on the call, that have tried to steward the call to apostleship and pastoral ministry and prophetic ministry and evangelism and teaching, and where we have abused it or misled or been wounded ourselves, I ask that you forgive us, Lord. And that those we've wounded and those we've hurt would be forgiven. That they would no longer be caught up in the religiosity and the legalism that, Father, has indoctrinated so many of these titles and so many of these callings. Father, forgive us where there has been hindrance and limitations because, Lord, we've defined ourselves based on denominationalism and nationalism and patriotism. But, Father, that your kingdom is the kingdom and it is coming and we get to be a part of it. And so let let us be a people committed to the process and the journey and the relationship of growing up in unity, growing up in the knowledge of you, King Jesus, growing up in maturity so that we can see the fullness of your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that as there is breakthrough this morning for so many of you, that you would be messengers, that you would take up the apostolic call to preach the gospel, that you would be mountain movers and city shakers, that you would consider yourself an agent of the Lord to bring transformation, an ambassador, someone who has been sent by the Lord, not haphazardly, not just because the whim and the wind are blowing, but because you have heard the voice of the Lord, and that you would recognize that he loves you and he wants to show the world his love. And so we thank you today. We thank you for the blessing and the prosperity of your word as we head out. And we thank you, Lord, that again, we are grounded in you. We are grounded in you as you teach us, Holy Spirit. We are grounded in you as we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to equip our teachers to remind us of who we are in you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Bless somebody this morning. Tell them you're a great promise. Have a great week. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you guys.